Hey guys, it's Drew from Court of Nerds here telling you that Tom and Chi in Granville is back. They've got impressive meal deals, so here's what you can look forward to when you stop by to get cheesy. Start your week off with a $29.95 Monday meal deal that feeds a family of four. No one wants to cook to start the week, so go get cheesy instead. Plus, kids 12 and under eat free from 4 to 8 every Tuesday, or enjoy a half-off grilled cheese donut every Wednesday from 4 to 8. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app like I did, you can hop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Plus, if you're like Stacy and you need it gluten-free, they can take care of you. Tom and Chi is proud to support Chia, a locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville near Cabela's. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another thrilling episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that could try to speak in iambic pentameter, but won't because people wouldn't be able to keep up. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Biff.
And we are your Court of Nerds. Our guest tonight is one you all know very, very well, and he's one who has frequented this podcast over the years. And by the way, I kind of like that I can say over the years now about this podcast. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
He is the grand poobah of the Grand Rapids Comic Con. He is Mark Hodges. Mark, friend, you
Hello.
Look much better than the last time I saw you. Have you been sleeping again?
I've been sleeping again. sleep is good.
Around Comic-Con, man, you don't get much sleep, and we see you all weekend, and it's just kind of this, like, gradual, like, it's the de-evolution of Mark Hodges.
I turn into a caveman by Monday. So,
but now you're back. You're walking upright. And,
I'm walking upright.
You're already booking for next year. Before we get to that, I want to talk about, because we haven't talked to you since Comic-Con happened.
Right.
What were your thoughts? I mean, you know, moving forward from Comic-Con 2017, moving into the next year, how did you feel everything went over the weekend?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, it is, because you're a creator, and creators always hate what they do.
Well, it's not that we hated what we did. There was things I won't discuss in here, but mm-hmm. it was a rough year.
Okay.
But, you know, we got through it. We're going to get through it in one piece and continue on and all that. So that's good.
There you go.
So
we want to move forward. We're going to move forward.
I'm going to move forward. Yeah.
We're going to move strongly forward.
It was a good lineup. Things went well. The fans were great. Everything like that was fine. It was just some of the behind the scenes stuff was ugly this year.
That's stuff that
fortunately fans don't see.
Right.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
I was going to say, like, fans didn't see that a Sunday, and this was my favorite, was Sunday morning. We were having trouble finding Jim Cummings for his panel. He was in the bathroom.
That's no surprise.
He was in the bathroom. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, we got up on stage, you vamp a little bit, you tell a few jokes, and then boom, there's Jim Cummings ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I think you and your staff did a phenomenal job. Because, you know, again, we hear a little bit of the scuttlebutt about some of the behind-the-scenes drama. Not our business. But your staff and yourself do such a great job keeping it all under wraps so that the public is just having a great time, not dealing with any of the other drama.
Right. And thank you, by the way. And, you know, and really, you know, the fans, they don't pay money to go to these things to listen to all the bull crap that goes on behind the scenes. They don't.
No.
They go to have fun. They don't care about that stuff, and I don't blame them.
They're there to forget about that stuff.
They're there to forget about that kind of stuff. Right. That's why every time we have an election year, like the 16 show, I was so paranoid that some clown was going to come in with a whole ton of Donald Trump crap on, mm-hmm. and then another clown was going to come in with a whole ton of Hillary Clinton crap on, and then they were going to have a fist fight in the middle of the lobby. I just... Fortunately, those two bums stayed home, so I was like, thank God. So, and we didn't have as many, you know, some people were freaking out over the Kevin Sorbo thing because of him being a diehard conservative, and we were sort of afraid that people were going to make an issue of that, but nobody did. So it turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
So
I thought everything went great. I thought we had a lovely time.
Absolutely. Right.
And again, we are very grateful for your continuing to allow us to be involved with your con.
Thank you.
And I just got to add one thing. I mean, the hospitality towards us and all the other panelists and, like, people doing panels and everything else. Like, I mean, because I know they had some people brought their own. We did most of the panels.
We did, yeah.
But,
the
I mean.
You guys did a lot of them, yeah. A lot of the celebrity ones.
I mean, we were just walking around and we had our badges on and people were just, like, so respectful and awesome. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Everyone, just cool. In general, Mark, the staff you put in place, I don't think we can speak highly enough of the work they do.
I can't speak highly enough of them either.
Yeah.
So
the wonderful
They're
B
better
stick,
people than I.
The wonderful B stick on this podcast did a great job, A, keeping us in line, and B, keeping us making sure we were doing okay, making sure we had everything we needed. So a big kudos to the Grand Rapids Comic-Con staff.
Thank you.
Again, further proof that not all heroes wear capes, but these heroes wear capes for 3 days once a year.
Yeah. Well, Brittany, you know, she works with first graders, so she has to keep people in line.
She's used to our level of maturity.
I wasn't going to say that, but that's...
It's not far off. Stacy's a little bit more mature, but that's why she's no fun. So.
Oh, wait. No, first, I agree with the first part, not the second part.
Stacy's a little bit more mature, but she's just as fun.
Sure.
Biff, you're already in. You don't have to suck up to us anymore.
I'm sorry. No, let him suck up.
All right. Well, Mark, let's talk about next year. You've got a new weekend. That's the first thing, right? We're moving weekends.
We moved back to early November. Basically, the building moved us back. Mm. And a lot of people don't know about these kind of things, but the DeVos Place is one of the 25 busiest convention centers in North America. Okay. Hmm. When they built it, they didn't build it big enough. It's just the truth. And because they didn't expect it to do as well as it's doing. And it runs at about 70% capacity annually, which is amazing because you got to remember that includes things like Mondays and Tuesdays where most convention centers, tumbleweeds are blowing down the hallway and nobody cares. They've got things in there on weekdays. They do a lot of stuff on weekdays.
Yeah, you don't even think about that.
And of course, weekends are just atrocious. And October is one of the busiest months of the year for them. And to be honest, we've been having a hard time on Fridays with the show because we're trying to run against high school football. And I know that a lot of nerds would go, why in the world would that be a big problem? But, you know, nerds are in band. Nerds are on flag team. Nerds go and hang out. Nerds go to the dance afterwards.
Yep.
Nerd parents go to watch their kids play or in band or whatever the heck they're in.
Yep.
So a lot of that age group and the parents of that age group and then alumni of certain schools, because, you know, and there's some people, I mean, I know people in their 50s that are still going to high school football games, don't have any children, you know, and it's because it's their school and that they feel some kind of weird attachment 30 years after they've graduated.
Right.
And me, I don't get that.
But, well, it might be a little weird, but.
But, you know, so, right, yeah. So you get a lot of, so, you know, you're running against high school football and that is brutal. It really is, and that's why Friday has a third of the attendance that Saturday and Sunday does, because we can't run with it. We just can't. And moving into November 9 through 11, football season's over.
Right.
It's been over a week. Now, granted, there's going to be some schools. We still have to worry about it because of playoffs.
Well, sure.
But those are schools that won 7 games or more, and most schools don't win 7 games. So they're done. And the playoff games are not as important, and a lot of them are played on Saturday.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. It's not so bad. And Saturday, you know, with the game starting at 7, a lot of people go to the show and just scoot out at 5:30.
Right, or if a game starts at 1, then you're coming to the show at 4.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially with the fact that we're doing a lot more evening programming and all that now. I mean, you know, we did the concert and the dance, and we're actually bringing in some very specific stuff for evening program. Nothing I can announce yet.
No.
But stuff that's close. I mean, if this podcast was 2 weeks later, I could have announced probably 2 of them.
Mm.
Oh.
But it just means we'll have to bring you on again. That'll be terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Look at it.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But we'll have some nice Christmas gifts for people on the Facebook page in the next few weeks. So.
And that's the biggest thing, by the way. If we can make sure people have liked Grand Rapids Comic Con on Facebook and followed them on Twitter.
And Twitter.
You guys are so good at interacting with people. And especially the right after the con. And this is, I mean, again, you would think that there are a lot of events that would, after they've moved into a venue like the DeVos, you know, they'd stop asking people after every con, hey, what did we do wrong? Hey, what did we do right?
It took me 2 days to respond to all that stuff and the what did we do right, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's very legitimate. Some of it is not.
Some of it, you're like, that's just how it works.
Some of it is just ridiculous. You know, some of it we can't change. Like, you know, people would be like, you know, well, why couldn't you put the main stage in the ballroom? Couldn't get it.
Right.
It's just the reality of it.
There were cows in there. They were busy.
They were, yeah, well, sort of whizzed me off that the conference in this 40,000 square foot ballroom had 500 people.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Really?
Wow.
500 people taking up 40,000 square feet? Why couldn't they take take the back A, 13,000 square feet, which should be plenty for a stage, because that holds 1,300 people for like a sitting room kind of thing.
Yeah, for a presentation, yeah.
Yeah, a presentation. And I'm like, why can't they just take one and give us the other three, which I was happy to pay rent on, and then we could have a nicer main stage. But no, it doesn't work that way. Especially when it's the state of Michigan writing the check.
Right.
So blame Mr. Snyder for that one. Well, his cronies for that one. Yeah.
Put that on the list.
Put that on the list. Evil governor. No, I'm just teasing.
So there are things that you can't announce. Why don't we give... Do you have anything we can announce?
Yeah. Actually, I brought 11 things.
Look at this. Whoa, 11 things.
Whoa.
Mark brought 11 presents for us, and it's not even that close
on
to Christmas
yet. The 11th day of Christmas, Comic-Con gave to you. I'll start with the artist, because you're more of a comic.
Guy's more of our focus, blog. Yeah.
Kevin Eastman's coming back.
Woo!
That's official.
We already have that
signed up. So we're excited about that. We're happy that Mr. Eastman is going to return. He is a fiercely independent guy, as for people who know in the comic field. That's why he works with smaller publishers, IDW, people like that.
Right.
Because that's just his heart. He is not a corporate dude.
No, he's very connected to his fans.
He's very connected. And as a lot of people know in this field, with Comic Cons, it's becoming more and more of a corporate entity kind of thing. It's going to... Give it 10 years and the majority of larger shows will be owned by five or six companies. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot like today's news.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be that way.
Or music festivals.
And then they're going to be sort of homogenized into their specific systems, Informa, Imaginary, and Wizard World. Well, if Wizard World survives.
Right.
They are in a lot of debt. Mike Grell is coming back. Mike did Green Arrow, The Longbow Hunters, which was turned into the show Arrow. So that's signed up too. We're done with that. So we're happy to have him back too.
Very, very cool.
And to show that we actually listen to you guys, I've had a lot of people say, start bringing in some LGBT creators. I think we have a good one. Steve Orlando's coming.
No way.
Yeah. And that's a big deal because he only does C2E2, San Diego, New York. And I wrote him a letter telling him we wanted him. Told him how we work with the LGBT community, with the Pride Fest and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And he's blown me off for a couple of years. Not blown me off, excuse me. Let me rephrase that. That's not the way I meant it. He has not been able to attend the last couple of years.
Right.
And but he asked for the dates as soon as we had them, and I sent them to him. And he, is saving the date for us.
That's excellent. Spectacular.
And for people who don't know who he is, he's the creator of Moonlighter, which is the first openly gay superhero.
Midnighter.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And he's also the current writer for Supergirl, JLA, and he's writing the Batman Shadow short.
Yeah, he's teaming up with Scott Snyder on that. Apparently, pre-orders for that are through the roof, according to Snyder on Twitter.
Yep.
Wow.
Orlando also...
Well, number one just came out, I thought.
Yeah.
Orlando like last week or something.
Is also, Mark, you may find this funny, we actually just had Steve on the podcast about a couple weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Not even to talk comic books. We had him on to talk wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, how neat.
He's a big wrestling fan. And,
yes, he is.
We couldn't really get a hold of his DC rep to talk comics, and we were like, well, dude, do you want to just come on and talk wrestling? And... he was all about it. We had him on for a half hour. He goes, I could have gone for two more. So we'll have him on again, and we'll definitely bring up that we will see him in November.
We're really looking forward to having him because with the LGBT community, that's becoming very much, very more and more prevalent in the comic field. And Steve, it's not just that he's writing LGBT characters. He's a good writer.
Right. Yeah.
He's good. And, of course, he also writes a lot of characters that aren't Supergirl and Justice League and Batman and that kind of thing. So he's doing a lot of other things, too.
If you've not read his book, Virgil, it is one of my favorite graphic novels of all time. Will change the way that you view what comic books are capable of.
Absolutely.
Because he tells a hell of a story, and it's not the story you're expecting at all.
Right.
So, again, great book to check out. Great booking, Mark.
Yep. Yeah, he is. And that's one I've been working on for 3 years, and I was really glad we finally cracked that nut. I'm hoping to have another one from that community to announce in a couple weeks, but we're still waiting for an answer. And then I've also been, hey, we need to see more female artists. And So we had an opportunity to bring in Joyce Chin.
Nice.
And we've signed that up. So, and she's done covers for Spider-Man, Black Panther. She does X-Men 92 on a regular basis.
Nice.
And she's done a ton of other stuff, and of course does a lot of inking and penciling and all that kind of stuff for right. DC and Marvel.
Oh, excellent.
So she's very
well-versed,
active in the field.
Yeah, definitely.
So when people write these comments on the page, I actually read them. I really do. I really do. I mean,
we promise.
I really do. And I appreciate the comments. And, you know, I may not be able to get you your number one choice. I mean, I hear Gail Simone over and over and over and over.
Gail, you're going to hear Babs Tarr. You're going to hear.
I write Babs every year. I write Gail every year. And every year I hear nothing from either one of them.
I do too, but I think we write very different letters.
Probably. Probably.
The mine are respectful. I want that out there. I'm just a big fan of both of these women.
They're PG.
Yeah, they're very PG. They're just mostly begging them to come on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Begging Babs to come back.
Then our letters probably are the same. Please come to my show. Please come to my show. Please come to my show.
Just slightly different.
Yeah, slightly different. But we haven't gotten very much luck with them. And I've been trying to get Phil Jimenez for a while, and that's another one. He writes me every year, though, and tells me he can't do it. And I think he's another one of those guys that does New York, San Diego, and that's pretty much it.
And, you know, at least the thing is they take the time to write you back and say, hey, we got your letter. We appreciate it.
I like it when they at least tell me thanks, but no thanks.
Exactly. Yep.
Unless it's like I got a letter once from a very famous YouTuber who I wrote to come in and do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a letter, and basically it was just two words. Go away.
Really?
That was all he wrote.
Wow.
And I was just like, and it was in capital letters with exclamation points.
Wow.
And I only wrote him once.
Wow.
I was just like, ooh, okay, I won't write him again.
Yeah, seriously.
I won't embarrass him. But
no, it's fine.
It was rude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Millennials.
And then we've got, that is the artist that we have signed up right now. Of course, we're going to bring in like 24 more, but that's, hey, we're 11 and a half months out. Give me a break, okay?
Yeah.
So.
It's like already more than I expected.
Celebrities, we have 5 already signed up. Some good stuff. Adrian Paul, a lot of you might remember, was booked for 17 and then had to cancel. He's coming back. He's coming.
Mm.
And one thing that's going to be neat about him is for 40 lucky people who are willing to pay extra and sign up for something like this, he is going to be doing a sword fighting class.
Really?
Yeah. There's only going to be 40 people, so you can get personalized attention.
Do we get first priority?
I'm not sure how much it's going to cost. All 40 tickets have to be sold because he gets paid for those.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, if I have to buy all 40 tickets, right. I might.
Dude, like, do you know how amazing that would be, a one-on-one?
I consider that.
So that is going to be really neat for, you know, we got to figure out how we're going to do that because he needs a lot of space. But, you know, they're swinging swords. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
Swords.
Man, my only thought is you're going to have to do like a raffle system for who even gets the chance to buy this. It's going to be like a friggin' Ford supercar. You're
going
to have to win the raffle and then you get the opportunity.
And then you still get to pay for it.
You get to pay for it.
Yeah,
sounds like tickets in San Diego.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Except you're not going to have like an application like, are you really a sword fighting fan though?
Right, right. Yeah. That's awesome.
They are something. Walter Koenig, who was, of course, Chekhov, the original Star Trek, he signed up.
John and Greg will be very excited about that one.
Indeed.
He's on the crew.
Yeah, a lot of Star Trek fans are going to really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Walter is not doing as many shows as he used to. And of course, none of them are just because, you know,
Star Trek
is a 50-year-old show now.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are starting to get up there in years. So, Star Wars fans, we got a couple. Excuse me, I got 6 celebrities. I'm sorry.
Oh, nice.
What?
2 Star Wars ones. Tim Rose. A lot of people are like, who the hell is Tim Rose?
Mm-hmm.
But you know his famous line, it's a trap! Admiral Akbar from Star Wars 6,
nice.
7, and 8 is coming.
Excellent.
So that is sort of cool. And Julie Dolan, that is more for the new fans. She's the voice of Princess Leia in Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a cool one. Of course, you can't get Carrie Fisher anymore because she's
unfortunately
passed on. But so we decided to go with the voice actor.
The voice actors have been big hits for you guys.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
Those have been really, and they're really, I'll be honest, from our end, they're really fun panels.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, they're used to being very animated. A terrible joke.
No, I love it.
On a screen, you know. So they're a lot easier to deal with, I think. A Blast from the Past, which is sort of cool, Margot Kidder.
Oh, nice.
Which is Lois Lane in the Superman films. Right. We're bringing her in. And get leading into animation. Josh Grell is coming. He is in Attack on Titan. He's one of your anime people.
Yep.
The big one is right now he's the lead antagonist on the Rooster Teeth show, Ruby. So he's the villain.
Oh, that's right.
And there's a lot of hints that he got killed off, but there's also hints that he's coming back next season. We'll find out when they release a new season in a couple months. So we're excited about that. I think that's a real cool one. And, you know, and Ruby is absolutely cutting edge in terms of anime because, you know, it's part of it's just because it's not the traditional format, you know, because you're used to it coming out of Tokyo and it gets dubbed. And, you know, this came out of Texas.
Yeah.
out of a little animation company that didn't even know they were doing animation when they started doing Ruby. Like, it's
right.
The story of Ruby, and we've had the chance to talk to Carrie Shawcross, one of the directors.
Correct.
And just the story of how Ruby came to be is, to begin with, insane, and the amount of success they've seen from it. I mean, Mark, you saw it as well as we did. There were so many Ruby cosplays at Comic-Con this
year. They're everywhere.
And they weren't like, it wasn't just the main four girls. Mm-mm. You were seeing side characters. You were seeing people dressing up as you know, side faunus that had appeared in like three episodes.
I saw a group photo shoot of that. Somebody
like organized it?
Organized a group shoot.
That's
and
awesome.
I saw pictures of that, and I thought that was really, really cool.
It was great. That's a great booking.
And well, that's one the teenagers were going to like.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, teenagers, not me. Definitely teenagers.
Not us
32-year, 30 something.
That's definitely the younger crowd. But you know, part of this is a big juggling act because you have to appeal to that younger crowd. Hence your Joyce Chins, your Steve Orlandos, but you also got to appeal to more of a classic crowd, hence your Walter Koenigs.
Right.
So, and then there's always so much space in this show to stick stuff. So it's a fine line that you got to walk.
Yeah. Right?
And it's not easy to try to figure it out. And then, you know, you get a bunch of people who are like, you know, can you bring in Robert Downey Jr.? No.
No.
You know, I mean, you
it
know,
costs
just
half $1 million to shake his hand, folks.
Yes.
Right.
And just not going to happen. So, but you know, you get that kind of stuff all the time. You can't ask the fans. You can't blame the fans for asking because
they don't know how this works.
They don't know how it works.
Exactly.
It's like every year when Ben and I come to you and go, hey, can you book everyone from the WWE? And you're like, no, guys, I can't do that. And we're like, okay, Mark.
Okay. I'm talking to a wrestling agent right now, so I'm sort of hoping we can bring in somebody, but I'm not sure who that would be yet.
Biff just got really excited.
How about?
I got to see what we can get and then what Motor City leaves behind. Because unfortunately, they book literally everything that's walking in the circuit. And then I basically, not wanting to duplicate what they do, I basically have to pick up whatever's left over. And it's either
the scraps.
It's either somebody who said no to Motor City for whatever reason.
Sure.
Or somebody who is so washed up that nobody knows who they are anymore.
Right, yeah.
And it's one of those kind of lines where it's like, do you want to do that? Do you want, you know, you don't want to bring in somebody who's going to stare at a wall all weekend. Which
right.
Unfortunately, there was a couple celebrity people we brought in. Basically, it's what they did.
It happens.
And it happens. And, you know, so I got to see what Motor City books first.
Right.
And I've got an insider track on knowing what they're going to book before they announce it. So, in terms of that kind of thing, because basically all the serious wrestlers are booked by one agent.
Sure.
And, you know, and so that we don't duplicate services plus other
because you're going to get some crossover, you know, between that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that go to Detroit or Motor City Comic Con come to Grand Rapids Comic Con as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's totally understandable that you guys want to do that.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's another challenge that we have, too, is we're in early November. We're the last major show in the Midwest of the year. We're the end.
Yeah.
We're the end. And by the time you get to us, I have to have a lineup that's different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't book the same thing everybody else is doing. I can't do it.
Right.
Because if I do it, then people are like, oh, I saw that at C2E2. Oh, I saw that at Cincinnati. Oh, I saw that at Wizard World Chicago. Oh, I saw that at
NY. Yeah.
You're exactly.
And then, you know, it's like, well, why would they go to this show then? So that's why we have to think outside the box a little bit and try to go, okay, what is going to appeal, but in the same token, nobody else is doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that is always tricky. and two more. The car show. We've already booked two of those. And I'm going to... People will remember 2 years ago, we brought in the original Mystery Machine, which was the one that Hanna-Barbera toured around the country in the late 60s. That's coming back.
Nice.
And,
that's awesome.
So a lot of people like that. And this is the strangest...
Yeah, you wouldn't tell us about this before recording. You wanted, like, our genuine reactions. And yeah. I got to say, I'm not the biggest car guy. You've got two of my three biggest gearheads sitting in the room. Like, Stacy is a Top Gear, like, Grand Tour addict.
Yes.
Biff, what have you? How many different cars have you wrenched your way through now?
At least 15 in the last year and a half.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Well, this is not a traditional car. This is as weird as it gets.
Absolutely.
A guy in Indianapolis, the guy who brought in the Batmobile last year, shared pictures of a car that he took. He took a 1991 Geo Metro.
Okay. Which is already amazing.
I'm already in.
All right, well, you know, piece of crap car.
Yeah. I'm interested.
And he's converted it over to the spaceship from Rick and Morty.
Shut up.
And you've got to see it to believe it. It is the wildest looking thing.
It would be a 91 Geo Metro.
Yeah, I would tell you what.
Like, why?
That Rick would have outfitted to be a spaceship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is awesome.
It is the craziest looking thing, and it's street legal.
You've seen pictures?
Favorite episode.
I've seen pictures. I've seen it drive down the road.
Oh, my God.
On video, of course.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going... Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because how many people...
Did you see how many Ricks there were this year?
And Mortys.
So
and Mortys.
Hordes of them.
Crazy.
How many... What a photo op.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
This thing is gorgeous. You've got to...
Really?
You've got to see it.
Just super clean.
Well, he just...
Are you Googling it?
He made
it.
He made it as a classic spaceship, which, of course, is what the Rick and Morty spaceship is.
Right.
It's just a classic-looking, round, gray alien spaceship.
Yeah, 50s, 60s.
And that's what the guy made, and then I sort of pointed it out to him. I was like, you realize what you got here?
Right.
What you did? And completely unintentional. Because I tell him, you know, you realize this looks like the spaceship for Rick and Morty? And he's like, what's Rick and Morty?
Oh, really? So that.
And I showed him pictures. He's like... Wow, I actually did reproduce this.
Son of a bitch.
So I said, awesome. I said, that's what we're going to book it as.
And that's awesome.
Like, he's like, okay. So,
well, I'm sure
pretty funny.
A guy who seems to have pride in his work, he'll tidy it up. He'll add some details to Rick and Morty, the thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the thing already looks pretty much like it.
Oh, my God.
And people are going to just go crazy when they see this because for the kids who are running and doing the Rick and Morty thing.
Yeah.
They're going to go nuts.
Well, they had that, the Adult Swim tour with that, like, van, or the way it was like a half semi that looked like Rick himself.
Right.
That
I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally just a pop-up t-shirt shop.
Right.
But I think it stopped in Detroit and sold out in less than 2 hours.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they sold out of their entire allotment less than 2 hours. I don't know that there's, I mean, other than Stranger Things, I don't know that there's a hotter property on the planet. Than Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah,
now.
True.
I think Rick and Morty's even hotter than that, though.
Yeah, I mean, because
after season two,
season two, agree.
Season two was sort of a letdown for a lot of people with Stranger
Things.
True,
and it didn't bring it like a lot of people wanted, and it didn't. Yeah, Rick and Morty. Gosh, can I?
Rick and Morty is so over the top.
Not right now, no.
No,
absolutely
like,
not.
Like maybe a year or two ago, you might have argued Attack on Titan was over bigger, but that second season is taking so long.
Well, you know,
that's Japan, how it goes.
Game of Thrones, maybe.
Game of Thrones, yeah, but people are really
that's
bummed about
off.
Like the end of it and the fact that the last two seasons are so short.
Yeah,
right.
You know, people are bummed and angry about that. I think Rick and Morty's the only thing that people are like.
George R. R. Martin's starting to run out of gas.
Wow. I think he did, and now he's got another show in development.
Yeah, it's coming to sci-fi, right?
It's a sci-fi,
yeah.
Well, and he's also. A lot of people don't know, but he bought a burlesque theater. And apparently he's been hanging out at that a lot.
Mm.
And so he's
One more
too
Khaleesi,
busy. He's too busy staring at boobies.
I wonder if he bought a burlesque theater just because to keep it open so that he could be like, no. I want a burlesque theater. I shall have one. You shall not close it. Like, I don't know how else a full... Because we have great burlesque troupes in the area.
Right.
But not a full-time burlesque theater.
No.
And I don't know how that's a sustainable source of income for anyone.
It's George R. R. Martin. He doesn't need it to be a sustainable source of income.
True enough.
That's a good point.
True enough.
That's a good point.
You know, sometimes rich guys will do stuff just... to do
just
it.
Just to do
just
it.
Because they're rich guys.
Because they're rich guys. Sure. I mean, why not? You know, I mean.
Check out what I got, ladies. Oh, wait, I got ladies.
Well, I mean, you know, you hear about, you know, I mean, I heard about, you know, one of the Trump girls.
Well, I don't know their names.
One of them.
One of them.
Tiffany Ivanka.
Tiffany, that's the one. She.
I don't know why I know that. I'm a little embarrassed.
Wanted to go goof around for the weekend, so she took a private plane to the Bahamas, and it was like a $50,000 trip. And
yeah, why not?
You know, why not? Well, it's not because, you know, but you got to remember when you're talking about people like that.
Right.
A trip like that is like
drop on the bucket.
Like you and I going to Kalamazoo for a day to go see a concert.
Right.
Right.
It's
right.
Just the way they look at it. They look at it and go, oh, whatever.
I hate that.
You know, it's just a different planet they live on than we do, but it's same there thing, you know. Hey, right. You know. I think it was a Trump. It might have been Paris.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Some rich blonde socialite that didn't earn her money.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, when they earn their money, it's one thing. But when they're a second or third, fourth generation.
Yeah, Paris.
When you're marrying George Clooney to be your trophy husband, that's when you've earned it, right?
She died of dysentery.
Right.
Like, that's... Did you guys just kill off Paris Hilton in the corner?
Yeah.
Was that what just happened?
By dysentery.
With dysentery.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't leave you two alone for 2 seconds.
No, I'm sorry.
Poor Paris.
Poor Paris. She never had a chance. The rest of the party refused to share buffalo meat. You guys are the worst.
Love you.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So
she'd be one of the first to die in the apocalypse.
She totally would. No one's like, wait, can we say Paris Hilton? Nah, it's too late, bro.
She gone.
She's right over there, though. Nah, bro, nah.
Do you know how many people went and saw the movie House of Wax just to watch her die?
Yeah.
That was the only reason people went and saw that stupid movie.
I think that's the
Paris Hilton
I saw
died.
The movie.
I actually read about one theater that when she died, the whole place stood up and 2/3 of them walked out.
Oh, my God.
That's all they wanted to see was just Paris die.
All right, good. Tickets paid for.
Tickets paid for. Price of admission gotten.
Paid in full.
I can go.
I've said before, if the Friday the 13th franchise wants to make $250 million, it's easy.
Yep.
You get the Kardashian women, have them, you know, the three Kardashians, mm-hmm. have Jason triple decapitate them all at once. People would pay. It'd make Star Wars money.
Right, but you got to lead for, like, what, an hour and a half up to him doing that?
Well, yeah, because people got to stay. You don't do it in the first 5 minutes.
So do you have him kill off, like, lesser Kardashians then? Like, does Rob die pretty early on?
Why not?
Jason versus the Kardashians. I think that's a hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
That's a hit.
Keeping up with the Voorhees.
Keeping up with the Voorhees.
Just sad.
Oh, I mean, that game has been a hit. I mean, Biff to throw it to Twitch.
The Friday the 13th game? I heard, yeah.
Yeah. Biff was playing it on Twitch the other night. and follow Biff on Twitch. What, it's Hey Biff?
Or
is
it Hello Biff. Biff.
Hello Biff.
Hello Biff.
More formal.
It is. Indeed.
But, like, I actually ended up tuning in and watching it for a little bit. I don't like horror. I liked watching you play that game. Partially because you sing the whole time.
I sing a lot on Twitch.
Yeah.
It's, but, yeah.
Well, nothing's also better than killing people to show tunes.
Well, you know what? Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Friday the 13th.
I mean, think about it. You know, you're like sitting there singing.
No, absolutely. I mean, why did...
what a beautiful morning.
Why did Sweeney Todd
day.
Right?
Hack.
But no, so it's in the game, you can actually... There's a push to talk, so you can talk to people that are close to you. So what I like to do is I either sing to people when I'm killing them as Jason, or if I'm a counselor and running away and we're looking for things to like fix the car or like what have you, you're looking for things to kill Jason or get away, and I'll talk to them about 1984 stuff. So I'll be like, hey, did you guys see that new invention, CDs? And people
never
are like,
gonna make
shut
it.
Up shut up. And I'm like,
they'll
yeah,
never replace my cassette tapes.
Right, exactly. And they're like, you know, and it's just stupid stuff like that. But it either does one of two things. It gets people laughing, or it gets people telling me to shut up. And then I still get interaction on Twitch anyway. So either way, I'm good with it. It's making my audience laugh. That's all I care about.
I think that's something that we need to bring to Comic-Con next year is a Twitch room.
That would be awesome, actually.
That's not a bad idea.
That actually would be awesome.
I don't need any credit for it, Mark.
My problem is space.
And Wi-Fi.
Oh, the Wi-Fi's easy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
$300 wire, that's done. Yes, they do charge me $300 for a wire. Believe it or not, they do.
True story.
Per wire.
I can verify that having done many other events.
I can tell you the three internet lines we run is more than I pay for internet service at my house for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah, you saw the bill for the one you guys ran.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, we saw that one.
It's nuts. It really is. It's nuts. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, and you can't do much about it.
Yeah, because they know it's a necessity.
Well, we don't have to run them.
Court of Nerds. I want that on the record.
We don't have to run them, but again, if we don't run them, then we have to compete with thousands of other people on the wireless system.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a bad idea when we're trying to communicate.
Well, Mark, man, we can't say how much we appreciate you taking the time to share this stuff with us.
You're welcome.
We will get it out there into the world for you, I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me know when it's done, and I'll post it. And all
you got
that,
it. So. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. They are Grand Rapids Comic Con, GR Comic Con. This is your show. This is a show, and again, I know I probably say this every time you come on, but this is a show people don't know how hard Mark fought to keep this show in West Michigan for you guys.
Yeah.
To not let some corporate homogenized bullshit take over.
Mm-hmm. And charge you $75 a day.
Yeah, good Lord. Like, I mean, again, the price for the weekend is unbelievably
good.
People
don't know how close they got to getting Wizard World instead of us.
Yeah.
And if closer than you think.
Wish I would have had Wizard World. No, you don't.
No.
Not with the ticket prices. And now, I mean, I don't know if you've been reading anything on Wizard World, but they are on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had to take a $2 million loan. Is that right?
Yep.
$2 million loan. Geez. To basically get through the year. They burned through it in 8 months.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
So 8 months they burned through it. Gone.
Again, Mark built a sustainable Comic-Con for all of us here in West Michigan. And for that,
To be sustainable.
Well, we're doing good so far. We just got to keep it up. So keep supporting Comic-Con, keep coming out, keep buying your tickets, and keep telling your friends. Comic-Con is a great time, and if you've got someone who's like, I don't know about this whole nerd thing, Comic-Con's a great way to get them started.
It is.
Right.
It's a great way to just jump in, both feet,
find out
going.
What you like.
Yeah. It's so
everything
much fun.
Everything is there.
Everything.
Right, and that's one of the things we try to do, and one of the criticisms we've actually gotten, too, is it's a little too broad.
Really?
Yeah, I've gotten that criticism, you know, that it should be more specific, should be comic only, should be we've heard comic only, we've heard celebrity only.
I get that, but being
West Michigan.
Science
fiction only, I've heard that too.
Being West Michigan, we already have an anime convention here, and I'm not going to name names because we don't need to give them any free advertising.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. But I mean, here's the thing, like when JFAX started charging out the butt for it too, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
JFAX's prices are pretty much like ours.
They are, but it's because it's a specific thing like that that I will not pay that price because it's strictly anime. I want to go to a Comic-Con like GR Comic-Con because there's everything.
There's anime and there's science fiction and there's adventure and there's fantasy.
Exactly.
You know, you listen.
The author thing.
It's a slice of every pie.
I've got a gender bent, and now I don't even have to say gender bent anymore, but it was a gender bent 10th Doctor Who.
Yep.
You know, standing next to a gender bent Weiss Snee from Ruby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's basically everything I could want out of a Comic-Con. And the best part to me is that you can have everything from like the most macho looking dude dressed up as the most macho character possible, standing next to, was it Emily's friend who was dressed up as a gender bent Emma Frost wearing next to nothing?
Yeah.
And damn, did
that guy, boy, did I get a lot of heat about him.
Heat. That dude brought it.
He killed it.
That dude brought it.
Yep. Well, I looked at his costume and it was PG-13.
Yeah.
The butt was covered. The junk was covered. He even wore a cup.
He did.
I'm like,
what do you want me to do here?
This is according to the rules. And you can wear the equivalent of a Speedo in a PG-13 film.
Right.
You can. It's like if a girl comes in a bikini, as long as everything's covered, I'm not going to say no.
Right. As long as all the bits and pieces are tidied up, you know, that's all you can
And
ask
his
for.
Bits and pieces were tidied. There wasn't much else tidied.
No. That's all right.
That's all right. No. And I had no problem with that.
No.
But I had to take a look because people were complaining.
Right, just to say that you looked. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the big pains in my butt because I have to appeal to
everybody.
Both sides of the political spectrum as well.
Yep. Right.
Because, I mean, you had the diehard liberals were complaining about the Kevin Sorbo thing and the diehard conservatives are complaining about Mr. Frost.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
No, and
I can't.
You have to Michael Jordan. You know, and it's the Michael Jordan line. People always ask Michael Jordan why he never weighed in on politics because he could have been such a strong figure. And you know what his answer was? It was perfect. Democrats and Republicans both buy shoes, don't they? I'm here to sell shoes.
Yep.
Democrats and Republicans both read comics, watch sci-fi, and you know what? The Republicans might hide it, but they love anime just as much as we do.
True.
So you know what? It's a convention for everyone, and that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's supposed to be a place where you forget about politics for one weekend.
Yeah.
And enjoy a man who has the courage to dress like that in public.
Right.
I wouldn't. Right. My bits would be everywhere. It'd be gross.
We
you
want to
talk about complaints, Mark? I'll wear that outfit next year.
Please don't.
All right. Next year, don't forget, the weekend has moved. The fun, it's still the same.
Right.
Grand Rapids Comic Con. Mark, thanks again, buddy.
You're welcome.
Don't forget, folks, and I'm guessing Tom and Chi will be back. They love you guys.
We'll see. I hope so.
We hope so, too. We love them and their grilled cheeses.
We love them a lot.
The grilled cheeses, right?
Yes. The grilled cheeses.
Yes, all
the cheeses.
And
the soups.
Ham and cheese, Stacey.
All the cheeses.
Ham and cheese.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Andy Budnick. I am known as the King of the City. I am a comic artist here from Grand Rapids, and I am close personal friends, and maybe the original close personal friend of Court of Nerds.